All I can get is static or variations on the sound.
You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Open Mic. My name is Varen, and if you're unfamiliar with me, that's because it's the first day of this new time slot for me. I used to host Open Mic on Tuesdays at 3 p.m., so just to fit my class schedule a little bit better, I've moved my slot to today. And if you're unfamiliar with my program, this is an open mic where for the next hour I'll be playing you guys some CanCon music that I found from the CGSF archive, and talking a little bit about me and what I've been getting into, and hopefully you guys are all interested. But on the outset of our programming today, I'd like to acknowledge that we broadcast atop Burnaby Mountain on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwilm, Musqueam, and Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Man, where have I been since last week? The last week, if some of you guys followed me from the previous week, I did a big 50-minute expose on the state of the hip-hop beef, that's right, the Drake and Kendrick drama. Took way too long to do that. It was really cutting it. I really yapped for the whole 50 minutes of my program talking about everything. And in hindsight, I feel like I did it at a good time. I covered everything that was going to be current, and it seems like, you know, I mean, not to toot my own horn here, but, you know, after my coverage, it seems like Drake and Kendrick really settled down, so they must have heard my program, hey? I'm glad that settled down, but just kind of been enjoying the summer the last 2 weeks. I mean, took a little bit of a hiatus to go to Seattle. Bunch of me and my friends packed into a car and went to Seattle to go see a concert. Maybe some of you guys are familiar with the emo band Camping in Alaska. We had a fun little vacation out in Seattle there. I want to talk about that later in the program. I'm also like, maybe, like, want to inform you guys a little bit about, like, what I'm doing in school right now, because it's quite interesting. I'm quite having a blast. It just came from a class, but SFU, the Geography Department, offers a really cool course called the Geographies of Wine, which I've been looking forward to taking for so long, and it's not like a wine tasting class. I'm not learning how to be a sommelier. It's very much a geography class, but we just had a wine tasting lab. Nonetheless, I said no wine tasting, but we did just have a wine tasting lab just now. It was quite fun. It was interesting. I've never had a little lab involving alcohol, and I'm guessing that the ruling on serving alcohol to students must be like a bit of paperwork, because, you know, we were out in the West Mall, like, fully fenced off. We had, like, the whole, you know, the whole nine yards. We had, like, table and catering, cheese and crackers, and it was a lab about tasting different varietals of Chardonnay, talking about different wine regions and stuff. So I've been very into that lately. I work at, like, a brewery, like, part-time, and so I think for the last, like, 6 months or so that I've been working there, I mean, even before I worked at the brewery, I was working at a restaurant that was, I used to work at Tangent Cafe. If some of you East Van / Commercial Drive locals are familiar, I used to work there, and they served a lot of Dagrad beers. Actually, the owner of the Tangent Cafe back in the day, his brother owned or was the main brewmaster for Dagrad, so been around beer for a while, and I kind of feel like it's time to cut it a little bit, you know? I don't know. I mean, I can never not be, like, team beer a little bit, you know? Like, you know, chilling with the boys, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But can never not be team beer, you know? I kind of really do enjoy beer, but, ugh, man, it's like, I feel like lately I've been really feeling the sluggishness of beer, especially affecting my skating, I would say. You know, it's just like a lot of liquid and feel very bloated, a lot of calories, you know? So I think this class is coming at a good time, you know? I think I'm getting my toes in for the taste of wine. And it's very interesting to kind of learn about wine with other people who kind of don't really know about wine, you know? And so I think, like, it's been super nice to, like, take a break from drinking so much beer and, you know, drinking some wine, went out with my girlfriend, and we ordered a bottle of wine that was 50% off. It feels very posh. It feels very high class. But, you know, gotta respect my roots. You know, like, you know, whatchamacallit, 12 packs of Sneaky Weasel, always a value pick, you know, shouts out. But yeah, I mean, it's been a good summer. And it was so funny, we were talking during the class, they were doing a segment on how to wine taste, and they had this woman, they put up this video of this woman teaching us how to taste wine. She came off very intense, and there was something that was really funny. She was like, you know, when you're tasting wine, you really gotta swirl it around your mouth, you know. I would say that when you take a sip of wine, you take a slightly larger than socially acceptable sip of wine to really taste and coat your palate, your taste buds. I thought that was really funny. Less than acceptable, societally acceptable taste of wine. So that's my mantra for the summer, you know. It's, you know, no more small sips, you know. We're all about that, socially unacceptable sips of wine this summer, you know. And so that's where I'm going to leave you guys with some music here for my first track of the week. I've got a song by, Blush. It's a CanCon fem rock band. Off their album Still Wet, here is Software Update on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you. All right, welcome back. I'm having a little bit of technical issues, trying to play a PSA, but it's not going. The last track we just heard before was La Lune, called, it's called I Feel Like I'm Pretending, off their album Disparity, here on CJSF 90.1 FM. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit my trip to Seattle a little bit, because it's been a while since I've been to the States, for sure. I think post-COVID, like, I didn't really feel the need to, or didn't really want to go to Seattle, but I think now that, you know, concerts are beginning to happen a little more and more. I mean, they have been, but there's more of a incentive for us to go, and so a bunch of my high school skater friends and some people that I've met skating in Victoria, we all packed in, and I met them at Tsawwassen. We drove across the border. Had like a little cozy Airbnb in Seattle. It was super sweet, the Airbnb, actually. It was like, I don't really know the full history of it. I didn't end up doing the reading that I thought I was going to do about the neighborhood, but it seems like kind of older. So we were staying in West Seattle. It seems like old historic, more like historic, like heritage kind of styles of homes. They're quite like old houses. They're also like near some like light industrial. So I kind of wonder if like, oh, like also we were next to the train. I kind of wonder if they were housing for people who worked on the railway or otherwise something related to, you know, the port there in Seattle. Super cool house. It was very vintage, like super eclectic. Like, man, the door to the bathroom was like an old, like, I guess like a reclaimed door that looked like it was part of like a ship. Like it had like an airlock and like it looked like it was part of a boat. They decorated it really well with like all these like eclectic little musical instruments. Like there was like a little harp, but like it's one that you like pick. Like, you pick a harp. I can't quite explain it. It's like a piece of, you know, it's almost like a small like toothpick of metal that you kind of pick at, and rather than strings, there were like a couple like cool little like, you know, resonant bells and stuff. They had like an organ in there too. Really cool, like a bunch of very eclectic space that we stayed in. But we found out very quickly that, like, man, Seattle, like, in terms of city planning and organization, feels pretty sprawled and pretty like hard to get around. I think I didn't drive. I'm kind of my girlfriend likes to call me the passenger prince because I didn't renew my license, and I probably should get on that, to be honest, because, you know, that's what a responsible adult does. But, you know, don't have a license, didn't partake in driving. The homie Taylor did all the driving. But even so, all of us in the car felt like kind of drained from like even getting any. This is not even just the travel day, just like generally speaking, getting anywhere in Seattle felt super draining. Like having to get on the highway to get, you know, sensibly anywhere was kind of a pain. And also we were like a little bit, you know, it was a little bit hard for us to navigate. I think we got a little confused and a little lost at sometimes. So, and also things like in Seattle aren't the most walkable. Like, you know, we had our Airbnb host be like, you know, there's like a store nearby, you can get your stuff, like whatever. But like, you know, no such thing as sort of like anything closer than like a 20-minute walk away. And to the point where we were like, okay, the first time we walked, the second time it was like, okay, we might as well drive, despite having to get on, you know, some semblance of the freeway. You know, it was a little bit of a pain and we kind of felt a little bit drained there, but despite this, it was a good time. I mean, I think the first night we went to go see Camping in Alaska. Camping in Alaska is this like emo band that is an interesting, I think, interesting in terms of their current popularity. I think they kind of, I don't know the full extent of their history, but so this was the 10th anniversary of their Please Be Nice to Me album, which is the album that I and my friends know from finding on YouTube. And so I kind of feel like Camping in Alaska, for maybe a lot of youth, kind of exists in this YouTube core of like Midwest emo music, because I remember exactly where I was when I found out about Camping in Alaska. It was like my first year of like doing radio and my like second year of school, and I was seeing some girl here at SFU, and we broke up and it was so sad. And I remember like then COVID like started like right away and we're all locked down. And so I remember the playlist even, like, I bet I could find it even, just for my sake. But I remember, you know, that was Camping Alaska, was sort of my like stepping stone, into like Midwest emo music, you know, sort of like, and so, yeah, what is like, I'm gonna look up this playlist. What is sort of this characteristics of this Midwest emo music? I think it's kind of like a little bit like, it's a little post emo or post rocky, you know. I think there's a lot of those elements. There's a lot of screamo in it. They call it Midwest emo because it's got a lot of similarities to math rock, which has influences, interestingly enough, from like jazz and like, you know, playing around with unconventional time signatures and like, what do you call it? The style of guitar is like, there's a lot of tapping. It's a lot of, oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like syncopation almost, or, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, it's a lot of tappy sort of, it's not very chord heavy. It's a lot of like, you know, a lot of, picking tappy things on the fretboard. I don't know. I don't play guitar. I'm kind of, you know, talking about my qualitative experience of such music, but oh my God, I found the playlist here. It's classic, like, angsty Midwest emo YouTube playlist style. It's the title's "I'm Tired of Begging You to Stay," and it's like this, like, you know, this boy like sitting at the train tracks. The train's coming by. He's wearing his like Adidas Sambas, looking out into the distance. You know, it's like real Midwest, you know, and so, went to the show, and it was awesome. I mean, I think also leading up to that, I think I had never, it's been a while since I've been to Seattle, and it kind of never occurred to me the influence of Seattle on sort of, like, hardcore scenes of music and stuff, and so it makes so much sense, that the crowd is, like, pretty sick, like, honestly, like, this is another Vancouver local music crowds, like, step it up a little bit, you know, but, I mean, you know, it was an all-ages show, but, you know, those kids were moshing, you know, they were ready to rock, and, I can't even remember the name of all the bands, but there was a local Seattle band that opened, and, man, they were hardcore, man, like, for some of my friends, it was, like, their first mosh pit, too. I think a lot of them don't really go to this kind of scene, but it was a fun mosh pit. It was a small venue. It was, I can't even remember what the venue was called. Like, the Black Pro. Ugh. I'm going to get confused here. Black Rock Seattle? No, I can't even remember the venue. I'm so bad. I did not come prepared. Needless to say, it was a really cool show, and Camping in Alaska came on later. They did kind of a short set. I think, you know, obviously, like, this was a cheap show. I think they're probably not, like, making a ton of money off this tour, as are probably many other touring artists who are, you know, in a van trying to, you know, tour their music. But, you know, short set, you know, a lot of the original band members weren't there. But, I mean, this time around, I think we had a bit of a treat. We had two of the original band members who had, like, had written for Please Be Nice for Me. Is it Please Be Nice to Me? Yeah, Please Be Nice. On the tour, and so it was fun. It was nice to hear these songs live, songs that I never thought I would hear live, just because, like, I get the impression that this album probably came out and just to like some appeal, but like I think it really probably, you know, kind of had its sort of big break during COVID times when all these kids found it on YouTube, and I think that's evidenced by this being like an all ages show. I mean, yes and no. I think with a lot of, like, punk shows and those kind of things, they kind of want all ages because, you know, kids want to... I think it speaks to the angst and sort of the rage of, like, youth, and so I get it. There's definitely always, like, a push to make shows all ages just so, like, you know, kids can go and, like, find their space and find their people and whatnot, you know? But short set, they didn't really do much of an encore, but, you know, I was pretty stoked on it, and I think it really... That show really kind of, you know, listening that show and, you know, in the larger scheme of things, kind of revisiting the album, listening to it really, like, gave me kind of a new appreciation for Camping in Alaska. They kind of sit as, like, you know, they're, they're not the most OG, like, you know, core emo band, I would say. Like, there's definitely some, like, indie rock influences on them. They're not the most hardcore emo